You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
As we kick off a new series called Starting Over. It's really going to be great. I'm so glad you're here because I really believe that this series has the potential to change our lives. I'm expecting some great things to happen over the next few weeks as we talk about our regrets. Because I think there's one thing that we all have in common this morning, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what your background is, I think we all have regrets. Some of our regrets are big, some of our regrets are small, but we've all got them. And I was thinking about some of mine this past week. In fact, I was talking to my oldest son, Aaron, who's playing soccer, and I was just telling him the other day that I played soccer for a few years when I was in high school, and I never scored a goal. I regret that. I was pretty good at defense. I was pretty good at passing, but I wish I would have just went for it. I wish just one time I would have forgot about everybody else and just ran up there and just tried to score a goal, but I didn't. I regret that. I regret that I never stuck with a musical instrument when I was a kid. My parents always encouraged us to play music growing up in church, and I watched these guys up here playing the guitar, sounding amazing, and I wish I was like them, but I was too distracted playing sports and chasing girls and stuff like that, and I never stuck with a musical instrument. I regret that. It's one of my regrets. I regret some of the bad choices that I made as a young person, as a teenager. None of which I am going to confess this morning because my mother may listen to this podcast and disown me. She can still do that. Speaking of my mother, I regret the time that my older brother and I were throwing the football in the house and we knocked over the curio and destroyed my parents' wedding china. My dear mother, I regret that to this day. And every now and then when I want to kill my kids, I'm reminded that my parents had grace on me and didn't kill us. I regret that. You know, one of my biggest regrets, I was thinking about this one, when Amy and I were newlyweds, just newly married, Amy actually was a real estate agent and she worked for a very generous broker who actually gave all of her real estate agents a free membership to the country club that her family was part owner of. Isn't that amazing? And so here we were, like newlyweds, young, poor, you know, we were broke, and we had a membership to this really nice country club where doctors and lawyers were playing, like paying thousands of dollars to play golf. And I was a terrible golfer, and I'll be quite honest with you, I was very intimidated because I was bad at golf, and here we were, you know, with these people paying thousands of dollars to play golf, and I hardly used that country club membership. I know those of you who play golf, you want to throw something at me right now. I know. And I regret it. I wish, if nothing else, I would have played every week. I'm thinking I would be way better, you know, now had I just used that membership. I regret it. And so we all have regrets, and some of our regrets we can laugh at, like some of the ones that I mentioned just now, but some of our regrets are too painful, and it's just too soon to be able to laugh at them. In fact, there's a website called secretregrets.com where people actually post their regrets anonymously, things that they would probably never share publicly, but they can go and bare their souls on this website. And I want to share a few of those with you. I read one girl's regret. She said this: I regret marrying my husband just 3 weeks ago. I should have called it off before I walked down the aisle. I am 23 and just haven't had the time to learn to love myself yet. Wow. Another person writes this: my biggest regret, one that plagues me in my waking moments and some sleeping moments, is that when I was given the opportunity to go to USC for screenwriting, I didn't take the chance. Another person writes this: I regret not telling people how he hurt me. Now, if he is hurting other people, it is my fault. Wow. Some of those regrets are just gut-wrenching, aren't they? And maybe this morning your regrets aren't as serious as those that we just read. Maybe some of you do have some regrets that are at that level. But I think all of us have regrets. We all have that in common, no matter what they are. And I think we can put our regrets in three categories. I want to give you three categories. Here's the first category of regrets: regrets of action. Regrets of action consist of all of the things that make us slap ourselves on the forehead and said, "Ugh, I can't believe I did that." Fill in the blank. I wish I had never done whatever that thing was, okay? I'm talking about lies that we've told, relationships that we've torpedoed, dumb choices that we've made, rage that we have unleashed, words that were hurtful that we have spoken, money that we've blown, and addictions and bad habits that we've fed. I mean, for example, there have been times in my life when I have said something, and the minute the words left out of my mouth, I wish I could take them and put them right back in my mouth. Can you identify with that? Ever been there before? Those are regrets of action, and they probably make up the largest and most common category of our regrets. So there's regrets of action, but then there's a second category. There's regrets of inaction. Let me give you an example. There's a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer that reads like this. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Did you catch that phrase? See, by what we have done, those are regrets of action. But what we have left undone, those are regrets of inaction. Let me give you some examples, okay? Regrets of inaction could be things like opportunities we missed, time that we wasted, risks that we didn't take that we wish we had taken, love that we left unexpressed, words not spoken, words we wish we would have said, forgiveness we withheld. You know, researchers say that we tend to focus in the short term on our regrets of action. In the short term, those are the things that are on our mind in the forefront. But over the long haul, we really regret regrets of inaction the most. Those are the things when we get to the end of our lives that people say, I wish I had taken this chance. I wish I had gone after this opportunity. It's regrets of inaction give us the words of the famous poem, for all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. And that's a nagging question in our lives at times, isn't it? What might have been if I just would have fill in the blank? If I had just gone after it, if I had just taken that chance, if I had just given it a shot, what might have been? Those are regrets of inaction. But sometimes our regrets come in the form of something hurtful that was done to us, something that was completely beyond our control. And that's the third category, regrets of reaction. And those are regrets like this: the accident I was in, the illness that I got, the abuse that I took, the abuse I was exposed to, how neglected I was, the rejection that I felt, the betrayal that I experienced. Those are things that those are regrets of reaction, things that were done to us. And when you've experienced something like that, there can be this sense of, why did this happen to me? This wasn't fair. Like, this should have never happened to me. God, even God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And sometimes it's regrets of reaction that can be the most painful hurts in our lives. Now, during this series, we're going to look at different stories on video, different testimonials of people's stories of regrets. And this morning, we're going to look at the story of a woman named Jacqueline as she shares for just a few minutes. So check out this video, guys.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and this is my starting over story. My mother migrated from Guatemala to the United States. And I was born in Boston. When I was two, we moved to Chicago after my parents had separated. My mom was pretty much the entryway to all our family from Guatemala to migrate to the United States. So we never had a home where it was just a mom and dad and the kids. It was cousins, aunts, uncles, and so on, and neighbors from back home. Because of that, there was access to a lot of abuse for a child, and physically or emotionally and sexually. I kind of found myself in a sexual abuse situation from about 4 to about 12. At the age of 12, I told my mom, you know, what had happened. I don't believe that she didn't believe me. I believe that she didn't want to believe me. And so, not growing up with my father, I think that's what made me gravitate to certain people that were not good for me and that just set me up to have a failed relationship after a failed relationship after another failed relationship, because I was always searching for that fatherly love. For me, it wasn't like, why did you leave my mother? It was, why didn't you protect me, you know, when I was a child? The reason that all kind of came to light is because I had started a relationship with a man, and that's where it all came back, and I had to tell this man, and I was 12, that he wasn't the first one to touch me in the way that was happening. And so this man was 8 years older than me, And at the time, I decided to start a relationship with this man that was 8 years older than me, who became the father of my child. I was 16 when I got pregnant. I was 17 when I had him. 3 months later, after he was born, I left this man when I turned 18. Still dealing with the anger and still dealing with the self-destruction, because I was still doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, but I was still very present in parenting. Go to work, come home, be the single mom, put him to bed, and then go out at night. And then come back home before Devon woke up. And so that was kind of like my routine from like Thursday to Sunday. Growing up as a child, we knew about God and we heard about God. I kind of knew, you know, you have the notion that there is a higher being, but there is no relationship, there's no example or anyone really teaching that to me.
Well, some of you can identify with Jacqueline's story, and there's a cycle, there's a dynamic that can happen when we have regrets, and it's something that we call the sorry cycle. Where we feel sorry for what we did. We feel sorry for what happened to us. We feel sorry for the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. And these regrets can create longings in us, like we heard in Jacqueline's story. Maybe longings for love, longings to have the void, the emptiness in our lives filled, longings to have the hurt and the pain go away and to find healing. And sometimes these longings can actually lead us to make even worse decisions. For example, they can lead us into unhealthy relationships. Like we heard in the video, they can lead us to destructive habits and addictive behaviors and sometimes to making foolish decisions. And so we get stuck in this cycle of longing, and then we turn to try to find some kind of way to find healing, and then we just mess it up even more. And so we have more regret, and that regret leads to more longing, and then we more regret, and just kind of goes into like this downward vortex, this downward cycle that we get stuck in. And psychologists actually have a term for getting stuck in our regrets. It's called rumination. Everybody say rumination. I want to make sure you're awake this morning. And this is where our minds and our behavior actually get stuck, like a record player or a CD player, like stuck on skip. Our minds are just, you know, mulling over our regrets. And this is what clinical psychologist Melanie Greenberg says. She says this: regret can have damaging effects on mind and body. When regret turns into rumination and self-blame, it keeps us from fully engaging in life. I remember a time a few years ago when I was dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety, and we actually took my middle son, Michael, to the Bronx Zoo for his birthday, and it was just kind of the stress of life was weighing on me that day. And I actually distinctly remember that day, I had so much going on that I wasn't fully present for my son's birthday. Like, I see pictures from that day, and it's almost like there was a fog because I wasn't fully present. And that's what can happen when regrets rule over us, when we're stuck in this rumination where, like, subconsciously our mind is like a CD player on skip. It's like you're going through life and you're not fully present. And so let me ask you this question this morning, church. What regrets did you bring into this service with you this morning? What regrets did you bring with you this morning? For some of you, when I ask that question, there's like something on the tip of your tongue. It's like right there. It's very present for you. For some of you, there's regrets that you just live with. So it's almost like subconscious. It's like right beneath the surface, but it's always there. And here's the thing, guys. Today, as a church, our heart for you is that you don't get stuck in your regrets, that you don't just get stuck in this downward spiral, but that you find freedom, that you find healing. And that's what this series is all about. That's why we're kicking off this series today called Starting Over. This is a series for all of us. This is a series for me. This is a series for you, because all of us have regrets in some form, no matter what your background is. It doesn't matter whether you consider yourself to be a committed follower of Christ. It doesn't matter if this is your first time back to church in a long time, or maybe a friend invited you to this series, or you got a flyer in the mail. It doesn't matter where you are today, okay? We all have this thing in common, and we want to help you as a church to break out of that sorry cycle, and not only break out of it, but learn how to love your regrets, because Because your regrets can actually be a place where you find redemption and a path to a new life. And so let me just encourage you to get the most out of this series. Let me give you a few ideas, okay? First of all, be here. Be here on Sundays in October as we teach through this series over the next few weeks. Don't miss a week. If this message speaks to you, if you're somebody who you would say today, yeah, I identify with this, I'm carrying around some regrets in life, then just prioritize being here for the next few weeks on Sunday morning. I also want to encourage you, get a copy of the book, Starting Over. If you're a guest, they're available to you for free, okay? If you're a regular here, the cost is only $10. We're just covering the cost of the book. We want to make that available to you. You can see Roz at the connections table. So get a copy of the book and be reading through this book with us this month. Also, we're having an open house for our life groups today. I want to encourage you, get signed up, get connected with a life group. We have several life groups this month of October over the next 5 weeks that are going to be digging deeper into this material. We're going to be watching some of these videos. We're going to be talking about the Sunday messages. And so you're going to find community. You're going to find a safe place where you can share, where somebody can pray with you, encourage you. You're going to build relationships, and you're going to find that you don't have to start a new life by yourself. And so get connected with a life group. Stop by and check out Open House after this service. And together as a church, we're going to just go after this whole thing of starting over. And we're going to live a life beyond our regrets together. Okay? We're in this thing together. Nobody's doing this by ourselves. All right. I'm excited if you're not. So be here on Sundays in October. Well, today, in the second half of the message, we're going to look at the story of a man in the Bible who got unstuck. He had been stuck in his regrets, but Jesus didn't leave him there, and he learned how to live a life beyond regret. And that man is the Apostle Peter, Saint Peter, one of the most famous men in all the scripture, one of the greatest apostles, one of the closest friends of Jesus. Many people don't know that Peter actually has a regret story like all of us. He actually went through a season of life where he got stuck in his regrets, but Jesus helped Peter start over. And so we're going to look at two scenes in Peter's life. And here's scene one. I want you to picture this. You got to use your imagination, okay? Pretend this scene's playing out on the movie screen behind me. I want you to picture the Apostle Peter on a dark night sitting around a charcoal fire. He's outside of the courtyard of the high priest's home in Jerusalem. In fact, this is the night of the Last Supper. This is the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested and turned over to the religious leaders to be interrogated. And so here's Peter around this charcoal fire. And earlier that night, Jesus had actually predicted that Peter would deny him. And Peter had swore, Jesus, we will go with you. I'll go with you to the grave. I'll go with you to prison. I'll never leave you. And Jesus actually says, Peter, tonight before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And so here's Peter around this fire, and someone comes to him who's also warming themselves around the fire, and they say, hey, I recognize you. You're one of those followers of Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter says, no, I'm not. And then a little while later, someone else comes up to him and says, no, like, I recognize your accent. You're a Galilean. That's a Galilean accent. You're one of those disciples, those followers of Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter says, no, I don't even know the man. And then he denies Jesus a third time. And right at that moment, look at what Luke chapter 22, verse 61 through 62 says from the New Living Translation. It says, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. After everything that Jesus had done for Peter, he had called Peter to follow him. He had given him a place of leadership. He had given Peter a renewed purpose in life. And Peter had walked closely with Jesus. He had done ministry with Jesus, traveled with Jesus, shared meals with Jesus. And in Jesus' greatest time of need, Peter denied him. He denied him. And so he's overcome, as you can imagine, with this sense of bitterness and regret. And most of us can identify with Peter because we have regrets too. We have things in life that we wish we hadn't done, things that we wish we would have done. We know what it is to be overwhelmed at seasons in life with a sense of regret that we carry around like a stinging, burning feeling in our souls. Now, Peter could have gotten stuck in his regrets. He could have stayed there and the rest of his life would have been completely different. But Jesus didn't allow Peter to be stuck in his regrets. And so we're going to fast forward to a second scene. Now, a lot has happened since then. Jesus goes on to be, you know, arrested, tried. He's crucified. He's resurrected. All of that has happened when we get to this second scene. And here we find ourselves around another campfire, another charcoal fire. Peter is sitting with Jesus this time. And earlier this morning, Peter and the disciples had been fishing. In fact, they had been fishing all night and they hadn't caught anything. Okay? They had gone back to the fishing because they didn't know what to do since Jesus had been crucified and their lives had been upended. And that morning, Jesus came to them on the shore, and they couldn't even tell it was Jesus from the distance. And he said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, on the other side of the boat. And they put their nets in the water, and they caught so many fish that the boat almost was swamped. It was almost capsized because they had this miraculous catch of fish. Well, Peter realized it was Jesus and jumped in the water. Impetuous Peter, gotta love Peter, he swims to the shore, and he gets to Jesus, and Jesus begins to cook breakfast, the fish on the open fire. Oh, come on, you got to love Jesus. He doesn't just work miracles. He doesn't just give you a miraculous catch of fish and raise people from the dead. Jesus even cooks breakfast. Come on, ladies, you can't even get your husband to put the toilet seat down and Jesus cooks breakfast. Come on, somebody. And look at what it says in John chapter 21, verse 15. John 21, it says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And then Jesus asks him this question, the same exchange, three times. And Peter answers the same. Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, take care of my sheep. Now, the fact that Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him is significant, because if you'll remember, Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times. So for three denials, Jesus gives three affirmations, gives Peter the chance to affirm everything that he had denied. But there's more. First of all, we see that Jesus confirms the relationship. There's more going on here. See, implied in this question to Peter, do you love me, is a priceless affirmation of Christ's love for Peter. And it's his way of saying, because Peter, I still love you. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love you still. And so he affirms the relationship with Peter. And see, that's so important this morning, because you have to understand, it's when you gain this revelation that God loves you and accepts you unconditionally, that's how you find the courage to face your regrets. Because many of us don't even know how to go there, and we carry this sense of guilt and shame. And sometimes when we think about God in the midst of our regrets, it's really hard to think about that, because we feel like, you know, God is judging us and God is holding us accountable and God is looking at us and he can't stand us because we have these regrets. But actually, he's a God of love. He's a God who's willing to meet us. He's a God who's waiting and ready to affirm the relationship. He meets us with an unconditional love. And so you have to know that. You have to have that shift in your mind. Even Christians, we can sit in church for years and hear the gospel and hear about the love of Christ and still walking around with this guilt and condemnation and regrets that keep us from fully embracing the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus confirms this unconditional love and this relationship. And Jesus doesn't chastise Peter. He doesn't do what we do to people. He doesn't throw it back in his face. He doesn't replay the whole situation about how Peter denied him. But Jesus also doesn't act like nothing happened. He doesn't sweep it under the rug. He goes there. Peter knows exactly why Jesus is asking him to reaffirm his love. But he also is subtly reaffirming his love back to Peter. It's very important. But Jesus does something else too. He not only confirms the relationship, Jesus confirms his purpose. See, after each affirmation of love comes the charge, feed my sheep, right? Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep, tend my flock, take care of my sheep. Now, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Did Jesus have a herd of sheep, you know, behind him that he was waiting for Peter to go and watch over? No, right? This was Jesus commissioning Peter to be a part of this ministry, to be a part of this ministry that Jesus had started, to carry out his mission in this world. He was commissioning him as a shepherd, as a pastor. He was taking him from being a fisherman, and he was ordaining him as a pastor. And he was saying, Peter, you still have a purpose to fulfill. I haven't given up on you. You're not done yet. I want you to lead and care for my sheep. I want you to tend my flock, my church, my followers. And if you know anything about Peter, he went on to do that. And this is one of the most powerful exchanges in all of Scripture between Jesus and Peter, because Jesus refuses to leave Peter stuck in his regrets. And here's what I want you to know today, church. What Jesus did for Peter is what he wants to do for you and for me. He wants to confirm the relationship with us. He wants you to know that he's a God of love. He's a God who can meet you. It doesn't matter whether you have regrets of action, something you did. It doesn't matter whether you have regrets of inaction, something you wish you would have done. It doesn't matter if you have regrets of reaction, something that was done to you and you're walking around feeling like damaged goods. No, Jesus comes to you and he affirms his love for you. And then he also affirms that you have a purpose. And he says, no, I'm not done with you. I want to meet you. I can use your life. I can use even your scars to help somebody else. That's the message for us today, that Jesus wants to do for us what he did for Peter. He doesn't want you to stay stuck in your regrets. He wants to redeem your regrets. And just like Jesus met Peter and changed his story, he did the same thing for Jacqueline. I want you to check out the rest of her story this morning.
During that time, I met a man who gave me a chance, and that was the beginning of a career change, a lifestyle change. I started caring more about my job and my son and my well-being than the partying, the drugs, and the alcohol. My oldest sister, her name is Shenny, she goes to work one Wednesday evening and suffers a brain aneurysm rupture. And by Friday, she was declared brain dead. And so that was the biggest earthquake of my life. I had lost my best friend. And my cheerleader. So that rocked me. And I didn't know how to deal with this, but to suppress it, just to ignore it. 8 months later, I have a mental breakdown and I decide I'm done. And so I attempt suicide January. 2 days later, after I come out, my nephew Steve collapses at work. He needed a new kidney. And so when I learned about the living donor, I put my name on the list. He needed a second chance at life, and I think I needed a second chance at life, a purpose. And so I think God uses this to give me my second chance. I called my mom and I said, Mom, I gotta go to church. And so I go to church that Friday and I ask for prayer. I was very scared, I was terrified. And so I asked God into my life and I told him, I asked Jesus, if you are real, if God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is all real, then give me this. Give me him healthy, me healthy, and then we're gonna walk out of this operation on Monday together. I told him, I will be yours. I will give my life to you. I will serve you. So you make me useful. And we walked out on Monday. After the surgery and seeing that he did come through for me, I said, okay, well, this is serious. So I started learning, and I just dug myself into scripture. That started a journey of healing for me. Every day is an opportunity for me to start over. Every day I still mess up. Every day I can probably still go back to think about those things. It's not over, but I have a choice to start over every day, every morning.
See, what so often happens in life is we see regret as a finish line rather than a starting line. See, regret isn't meant to be the end. Regret is meant to be the motivation to do things differently, to make things right. Listen to this quote from journalist Catherine Schultz. She says this, regret doesn't remind us that we did badly. It reminds us that we can do better. That's what should happen with our regrets. And in that way, when we learn to embrace our regrets, we can learn to love our regrets because they can launch us into a completely new future. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. Don't waste your regrets. Sometimes we waste our regrets because we let them be the defining thing. Oh, it's too late for me because what's already happened has happened. But no. Your regrets aren't a finish line. They're a starting line. They're a starting line. They're a wake-up call for things to be different because they can. I love what happens with Peter. Jesus doesn't just allow him to be stuck in his anguish, his failure, how he crashed and burned, but he gives Peter a fresh start in life. And Peter goes on to be one of the greatest men of faith in the Bible. He becomes one of the chief apostles, one of the cornerstones of the church. He preached, he worked miracles, baptized thousands. He wrote part of the New Testament, and he goes on to change the world. Jesus gives him an opportunity for a new future. And back to our story for just a moment. I love the last thing that Jesus says to Peter at the end of that conversation around that campfire that day. John chapter 20, verse 19, he says, "Follow me." The last thing he says to Peter is, the way to begin this journey, this new life of starting over, is to follow me. And that's the journey that Jesus is calling us to today. We believe at this church that to be a Christian isn't just something we do on Sunday morning. It's not just something that we do as we go through the motions, but it is actually to be a follower of Christ. That Jesus is still calling us, just like he called Peter, to come and to follow him. And so today, on this Sunday, October 1st, we are beginning a journey intentionally over the next few Sundays to leave our regrets beyond, to quit allowing our regrets to define us, and to start over and to embrace this new life that Jesus is calling us to answer the call to follow him. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said this, a powerful quote. He said, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward." Isn't that true? We learn so much as we live our lives, but we can only live it forward. And that's the point today. When we look back at our lives, every one of us, we have some regrets, but this is a moment where we can choose not to be stuck there, not to allow the regrets to define us, but to move forward. I don't know what your regret is today. I don't know what you, when I asked you this morning, what did you bring in here this morning? That hits all of us in a lot of different places. Maybe for some of you, your regret is your spiritual life. You've neglected your relationship with God. Maybe you've known about God. Maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you went to catechism, or you were baptized, or you grew up going to Sunday school, whatever, and you've neglected that part of your life. And you said, I wish I had walked with God, you know, closely. Don't be stuck there this morning, church. Don't be stuck there this morning. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you neglected to take care of yourself. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's your sense of purpose. You had wished that you had lived more purposely instead of just going through the motions every day. And right now you're like, I don't know how I even got to this place in life. I don't even know how I got here, just drifting, going through the motions. And I wish I had been more intentional about my purpose in life, because I want to live with meaning. I want to know that my life is counted for something. Maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe it's somebody that you wish you had loved better. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but don't be stuck in your regrets. So let me ask you this final question. What would it look like for you to embrace release and healing and freedom, to embrace that love of God, to embrace the purpose of God in your life, and to live your life beyond regrets? What would it look like to embrace redemption? What would it look like to know that your story, even though you can't change it and you wish you could change the most painful chapters, what would it look like to know that God can take your story, that he can actually recycle it and use it to make a difference in somebody else's life? What would that look like for you? What would it look like for you to know that you can learn from your mistakes? You can learn from what you did, and you can live better. You can help somebody else. What would it look like to embrace new purpose in your life? What would it look like to say, no, it's not too late to be a good spouse. It's not too late to be a good parent. It's not too late to get my finances in order. It's not too late to get freedom from that thing that has defined me for so long. I can be somebody new. What would that look like for you? What would that look like for you? Can you picture it? Can you see it? Because today Jesus is calling you, and he's inviting you and saying, follow me into this new life, into this new redemptive life. You have a chance to start over. I want to pray for you this morning. Why don't you stand with me? The worship team's coming back. We're going to sing a final song in just a moment. We usually receive communion on the first Sunday of the month, but we're actually going to receive it next week. So we're just going to have the worship team come back. But I want to pray for you for just a moment. This is a moment of reflection. If you're new to our church and you're not quite sure what to do, this is a moment of just reverence. You can bow your head. This is a moment to pray, to reflect, to say, God, what are you speaking to me from the message? What do you want to say to me? And we want to help you respond in prayer. And for some of you in this place today, maybe this is all new to you. And yet you feel a tug in your heart. Something inside of you says, yeah, that message resonates with me. I'm tired of being defined by my regrets, and I want that freedom. I want that sense of purpose. I want to know that God does love me, that he accepts me where I am. Maybe you've never heard it quite that way before. And we want to tell you that the pathway to this journey that we're talking about, to embracing this new life and this healing and redemption, it's that simple invitation from Jesus, follow me. And this morning, we want to invite you to pray that with us. We want to invite you to respond to that call of Christ to follow him with a prayer. Would you pray with me this morning? If you're a believer, some of us, we just need to recommit ourselves today. We need to say, yeah, Jesus, sign me up to follow you again today, to fully embrace what you want to do, your purpose in my life. But would you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you that you're a God who doesn't leave us stuck in our regrets and our sorrows. But God, you give us the opportunity to have a new life, to start over. And I'm praying right now for the person in this place who wants that life, who wants a new life, who wants to answer that call. Maybe for the first time ever, maybe for the first time in years, to say, Jesus, I choose to follow you. And if that's you, would you just pray with me? Would you just echo this prayer in your heart, maybe under your breath? Jesus, I choose to follow you. I receive you into my life. I let go of my regrets. I let go of my failures. I let go of my sins. I let go of those things to embrace a new life in Christ. Jesus, I place my trust in you today. I choose to follow you. And I receive you into my life. And we believe if you prayed that this morning, that Jesus heard your prayer. God, I pray for all of us today, no matter where we are, no matter where we are in our journey, that today, God, would be the start of a new day, that we can mark this day down and we can say, this is a day when we let go of the past, and we embrace the new future. God, I'm praying today that we would be reminded, every person in this place, of your love for us. That today you are affirming your love for us, your unconditional love, and you are speaking new purpose over our lives today and will never be the same. God, I pray it for every person in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.